Well, this evening, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. And we are still, of course, in the Wednesday night snapshots. We will finish the Wednesday night snapshots next week. So we've been doing this for almost 2 years. We've been doing character studies throughout the New Testament. And tonight, it's going to be a little different. What we're going to do tonight is, instead of looking at one specific person, we've talked a lot about Paul. Paul hasn't been a snapshot per se, but we've talked about a lot of people associated with Paul. People that Paul has served with, people that Paul has mentored. You know, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, from the book of Acts on, he is a central character of the New Testament. We see how God works through the Apostle Paul. And so tonight, I wanted to cover, in honor of praying for missions this week, I wanted to briefly cover the three missionary journeys that Paul went on in the book of Acts. And of course, we know that the beginning of the book of Acts is all about Jesus ascending into heaven, and it's about the church in Jerusalem officially starting, and then from that church, we see the gospel message spread. And at first, the gospel message simply spread because all the believers were in Jerusalem. That's where the first church was. And Jesus wanted the church to go. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But see, people get comfortable. That's one of my biggest struggles in life, is comfort. I love a comfort zone. And often, when I get really comfortable, I can feel God shaking me, saying, Tyler, I want you to go. I don't want you to get comfortable. Well, see, the believers got comfortable in Jerusalem. And the Lord used persecution to make them move. He already gave them the command, the Great Commission, what we're going to read here in Acts 1:8. He already told the people to go, and yet they made the decision to stay. And what's amazing here, what I love to see, is one of the people that God allows to persecute the church is a man we call Saul. We know him as he will become the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, before he was a missionary, before he was a preacher, before he was a believer in Jesus, we've talked about this, he was a zealous Jew who persecuted Christians because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And when the first Christian martyr of the church age, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the first Christian martyr who died for his faith was a man named Stephen, one of the first deacons. And the man holding the coats as Stephen was killed was none other than the man that we will celebrate as probably the greatest missionary in the Bible, Paul. And you might say, well, that doesn't make sense, Tyler. How did this persecutor go from being a persecutor to being a believer? Well, after the death of Stephen, we see that Paul would continue causing trouble. He went to Damascus, and on the road to Damascus, something happened. Paul had an encounter with Jesus, and everything changed. No longer was Paul a persecutor. No longer was Paul kicking down doors, dragging Christians to jail. Instead, from that day on, Paul became a preacher. He became a gospel messenger. And Paul would go on several missionary journeys. He would plant churches. He would spread the gospel. He would go through all kinds of suffering for one reason: for the name of Jesus to reach others. And every time, I've heard about Paul my whole life. I've studied Paul. And yet I'm always amazed that God would take that persecutor and make him a missionary. And so many times I hear people say, you know what, Tyler? God can't use me. Because of my past, because of what I used to do, because of what I've gotten into, there's no way that Jesus can use me for his glory. Listen, the reason that God chose Paul is to show you and I that he can use anyone for his mission. Amen? It doesn't matter your past. The truth is, we all have a past. We all have skeletons in the closet, if you will. We all have things that we wish we didn't do. And yet, when we surrender to God, when we say, Lord, the old man is gone. I'm a new creation. Lord, I've experienced a new birth. Lord, I am yours. The Bible says that when we are saved, we are transformed. We are new. Paul was brand new. And Paul lived brand new. Paul was baptized. Paul began to preach. The apostles, the main Christians, they didn't want to hang out with Paul because they didn't believe it. We've studied Ananias, who baptized him, who poured into him there in Damascus. We studied Barnabas, the man that God used to prepare Paul for his first missionary journey. The truth is, if it wasn't for God using Barnabas, Paul wouldn't have went on a missionary journey because Peter and the rest of them, they didn't want him. But yet Barnabas went and found Paul and used him on not a mission trip, but in Antioch. And from there, we're going to get to our first missionary journey here in a moment. And I say all that to say this. It's amazing how God writes these stories. This isn't just a storybook, church. This is history. If you're a Christian tonight, this is your history. This is my history. This is the history of the church. And so this evening, I want us to start with reading Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the reason is because this one verse is God's plan for missions. 2,000 years ago, the early church, and in 2025, me and you in Salem, Arkansas, Acts 1:8 is the mission of the church. So if you will, please stand in honor of reading God's word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the words of Jesus. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Bow with me. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that we can see the call that you placed on men and women 2,000 years ago, and the call that our church, our community, has today, Lord. Father, we are called to go to our Judea, our Samaria. We're to go to our communities. We're to go to our state. Lord, we're to go everywhere we can, and we are to live for Jesus, and we are to spread the gospel. The message, the mission has not changed. Father, let us see your word and let us learn and grow from it. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, of course, we know that when Jesus spoke these words, Paul was not yet a believer. It would be later on that Paul would become a believer. And yet when Paul became a believer, he was zealous. Just like he was zealous as a persecutor, he was zealous as a believer. And God prepared him for what we would call a mission trip. Now, the reason we're studying this tonight, what we're going to study, what we call the three missionary journeys in the book of Acts. It's the first time in the church's history here that they did this, because they started in Jerusalem, persecution spread, and wherever the people went in that persecution, guess what went with them? Their faith. Just like you and I, wherever we go, what should go with us? Our faith. And so churches began to spread simply because people went. But even having said that, there was still a great need for the gospel message to continue to spread. So finally, the church decides we need to send people. We need to send missionaries. So tonight, the first thing we're going to look at here on the first missionary journey, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Like always, we're going to be flipping all over the place. Acts chapter 13, and we are going to, Acts 14, and we're going to look at verse 21. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that is Paul and Barnabas, before their missionary journey, they're serving in Antioch. When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went to Attalia. You have to love these names. Now, I was going to put some maps tonight. I decided not to because I didn't want this to become a history class. But if you're curious about this, when you get home, you can simply Google Paul's first missionary journey, and you'll see a map of all the places that Paul went. Even before his first missionary journey, Paul began to go with Barnabas and spread the gospel. Now, what you and I need to understand, there was a need. The need was the gospel. And because there was a need for the gospel, the church here in Antioch, they set aside two men that they felt called through the Holy Spirit to send out. These two men were Paul and Barnabas. They didn't choose them. They allowed the Holy Spirit to choose these two men. And specifically, this mission trip, it wasn't about going on vacation. It wasn't about exploring new cities. It was about planting churches and more specifically, spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, if we study the mission, the life of Paul, everywhere Paul went, Paul would always go to synagogues. He would always preach to the Jews because Paul himself was once a lost Jew. But he knew that his mission was for the Gentiles. All through the Old Testament, the Gentiles were excluded from God's plan. God's focus was on Israel. But because of Jesus, when we say John 3:16, God sent his son for who? For everyone, including the Gentile. And so Paul, formerly a devout Jew, went with Barnabas because the Holy Spirit, through the church, sent them out, and they began to plant churches, preach the gospel, and strengthen believers. That is what the first missionary trip was all about. Now, this missionary trip took between 1 to 2 years. And we see this here in Acts chapter 13 and 14. We see how God used these two men for his glory. And I want you and I to understand that that's what missions is all about. So IMB, the International Mission Board, they send out missions in every continent to most countries. They send them to thriving cities, and they send them to backwoods little places that you and I don't even know exist. And in all those different situations, rural, urban, big, small, often going and teaching assignments, medical missions, all these different things, the heart of why they go is for the gospel. Now, we know that Paul, he had a trade. His trade was a tip maker. Paul would say in his letters, listen, I didn't ask for one penny. I came, I worked, and I preached the gospel. And as I think about missions, I think about how God worked all those years ago. I think about how from Antioch, how they were sent out, and how the Lord led them to all these cities, and how they didn't change the message. They preached the gospel everywhere they went. Why? Because that is what they needed. So that's the first missionary journey. The second thing I want you to see is the second missionary journey. So we see Acts chapter 13 and 14. The second missionary journey is Acts 15, verse 36 through chapter 18, verse 22. Now this is overview, and often we covered most of this already. The last several months, as we've covered Timothy and Titus and Barnabas and all these different men and women, Priscilla and Aquila, we have covered a lot of what happens in these chapters. But I want us to understand that when we as a church, when we talk about things like missions and missionaries, this isn't a new concept. This isn't something that we came up with on our own. This is a biblical concept. This is something that Jesus himself wanted the church to do. And guess what? It's not broke. It still works. When we call Paul a missionary, it's the same kind of missionary that we have today. People who go out and spread the gospel. So this evening here, I do want us to see this. In Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41, we see a situation between Paul and Barnabas. Now, I shared earlier, God used Barnabas in powerful ways. Barnabas was the one that literally went to Tarsus, Paul's hometown, and pulled Paul out and said, Paul, you're coming with me. And it was because of Paul's association with Barnabas that Paul became really a part of the church, accepted, if you will. And Paul and Barnabas, God used them in powerful ways on the first missionary journey. But when they went on that first missionary journey, they took a young man named John Mark. John Mark was a cousin to Barnabas. And on that first missionary journey, we don't know the details, but halfway through, John Mark quit. He went home. Why did he quit? Why did he go home? We don't know. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he had a stomachache. I don't know. But John Mark went home. And so as they prepared for the second missionary journey, this was to go back to the cities they went to. This was to strengthen these churches. Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark. And Paul said, no, he already quit on us once. We're not doing this. And the Bible says in these verses that the contention between Barnabas and Paul became so strong that they split into two teams. One was Barnabas and John Mark, and then Paul took a man named Silas. And at first, when I read this, I'm like, wow, this is horrible. And it is sad that they had a disagreement and they couldn't come together in the Holy Spirit. But do you know, even in this sad situation, that God used it for His glory? We had one missionary team. What do we have now, church? We have two missionary teams. Now, the Bible narrative follows Paul and Silas. But if you read early church history, Barnabas was very successful in his missionary journeys. And so we see here that nothing is wasted. Even though Paul and Barnabas broke, we see that God still used both men for His glory. So on the second missionary journey, once again, they went, they strengthened the churches. Another thing that Paul did on these missionary journeys is that he would write. So many of the letters that we have in the New Testament is written from Paul. Well, when did Paul write these letters? Two different situations. One, Paul would write them during his missionary journey. On his second missionary journey, Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now, the other time that Paul would write is when he was in prison. Think about that. Paul didn't waste his time. When Paul was on the ships, when Paul was going back and forth, Paul would write to the churches. When Paul was in prison, what would he do? He would write to the churches. And the letters to the churches, the letters to Timothy and Titus, those letters are still what you and I use today for our doctrine, for the church, for how we live as a Christian. And I'm not giving Paul the credit. Through the Holy Spirit that spoke to Paul, you and I, we are still using what the Lord gave us. Now, on the second missionary journey, and once again, I hope tonight just gives you a little taste to go and study this, but in chapters 15 through 18, we see that Paul spent a lot of time in Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor is today Turkey, the Middle East. The Lord used Paul to plant churches there in Turkey. And from there, he went to Greece. We see once again, Paul would continue to go. And during this missionary journey, we would see Paul, it wasn't all easy. Several times when he would preach the gospel message, what did the people try to do? They tried to kill him. The Jews would stone him. We even see that as he would preach, as he would share the gospel, we see that the people who were native to different cults and different religions, they would hate Paul. Why? Because Paul was taking away business from them. I mean, these are the things that Paul, the missionary, and his team would go against. And then I read about missionaries today. I read about these missionaries who go to Africa, and they go against tribal witch doctors. They go against all these cults and all these different things. And that's the same thing we see in the book of Acts. Paul went against the cults. Paul went against the witch doctors. Paul went against the silversmith who was making idols. All these things, it's still happening today. The missionary trials are still taking place. Why? Because when people believe in Jesus, not everyone loves it. I mean, we're blessed to live where we live. When people accept Jesus in a church, we say, amen, hallelujah. But man, when you go to these tribes, when you go to these different countries, and when people accept Jesus, they're banished from their family. In the Middle East, in the Iran and Iraq culture, if a young lady accepts Jesus, their parents denounce them. They no longer have family. They are removed from their family. They are shunned. And so when the Bible says that other believers are your family, in many situations, that's not just a metaphor. That is literally the truth. And it's amazing as we read through Scripture, the things that Paul and these other missionaries went through is happening today. And maybe we don't talk about it enough. Maybe we don't focus on missionaries' journeys like we should, because I'm always amazed at the trials and tribulations that people go through. Why? Because Satan does not want the gospel message to be spread. He didn't want it all those years ago, and he doesn't want it today. You and I, we have to remember that Jesus wants us to spread the gospel. Paul had a heart for churches. Paul, he would write letters, but he would go to these churches and he would build them up. He would encourage them. And I love that, encourage. What does that mean? It means to build someone up. Have you ever had someone encourage you? Just come beside you, just love on you, pour in you? They couldn't fix your problems, but they came alongside you. They wanted you to know you weren't alone. That's a big part of the Christian movement, of how the Lord worked. And finally here, we get to the third missionary journey. The third missionary journey was the longest. It lasted over 4 years. We see this here in Acts chapter 18, verse 23 through chapter 21. And during the third missionary journey, this really stands out to me. Paul wrote several letters that we have in the Bible. The letter to Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans. This is all during the third missionary journey. Paul would go and he would spread the gospel. He would pour into people. Many of the people that we've talked about lately, Timothy, Titus, Paul met them on their missionary journeys. He brought them into ministry. He trained them. He prepared them. And then he sent them out to lead churches. That's how the mission work continued. And so on this third missionary journey, once again, Paul spent much time here in Ephesus. And Paul went against the cults. He went against all these things. And when people, and sometimes I get this, people say, you know what, I would read the Bible, but the Bible is really boring. Read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is not boring. I mean, you read what the early church faced, what they went through as Christianity spread. I mean, they went through all of this evil. They went through all of this darkness because as Jesus spread, guess what? Satan, the spiritual attacks came. And yet we see that Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silas and Luke and Priscilla, Aquila, Phoebe, all of the missionaries. I mean, you read the letters of Paul, the book of Romans, the last chapter, chapter 16. That whole chapter is full of names. Names of who? Names of workers, names of missionaries. Names of men and women who surrender their life to Jesus. And we don't know a lot about them. Most of them are just mentioned in the Bible one time. But here's what we know. They made an impact for the kingdom of God. Somewhere along the line, they made an impact for Jesus. That's what missions is all about. Just last week, because of your giving, because of your donations, back in the summer, we packed over 100 shoeboxes, Operation Christmas Child, and we were able to drop them off at Viola. And from Viola, they go to Dallas, and from Dallas, they go all around the world. And it's just a little shoebox, costs maybe $15, $20 to fill. And this is why we as a church support Operation Christmas Child. Before these children receive these boxes, the gospel message is presented in their language. They open these boxes, and then there is an opportunity for these boys and girls to accept Jesus. And if they accept Jesus, they then go through a 12-week discipleship program. This isn't just, here's a box, see you later, we leave. No, no, this is men and women investing in these boys and girls. This ministry, they train people in their communities, in their villages, and for 12 weeks, they pour into these boys and girls. They help with physical needs to get the spiritual needs. That's missions. Back in the summer, we spent a Wednesday night. We had kids, we had senior adults, we had everybody packing shoeboxes. And I remember going to one and saying, you know what, you're a missionary. What you're doing, it seems small, it seems like no big deal, but you are being a missionary. You are spreading the message of God. International missions. That's what we talk about with Paul. Paul went all over. He preached the gospel. And you might say, Tyler, I'm never going to be an international missionary. I've been in Salem most of my life. I'm not going anywhere. This doesn't apply to me. All of those places around the world, they need the gospel. Amen? But guess who also needs the gospel? The person down at Dollar General. The person in your house. Your coworker. The person at Soul Sweat. The person you come in contact with down the road. See, the truth is, when you and I, when we share the gospel, do you know what we become? We become a missionary. And maybe we won't go on three big old missionary journeys like Paul did. But God wants missionaries right here. Now, Paul's life ended by the end of the book of Acts. Paul knew he was about to die. Paul was shipped place to place, under arrest. And every time he was in chains, he shared the gospel to the Jewish leaders. He shared the gospel to the Roman leaders. He eventually went to Rome. For years, Paul prayed and prayed to go to Rome. God wouldn't let him. And finally, in chains, Paul went to Rome. And do you know what Paul did when he went to Rome? He preached. And you might say, Tyler, I'm not a preacher. Once again, if you're a Christian, you are called to preach the good news. Paul just spoke about his testimony. Paul just shared how he used to be a persecutor, how he used to kick down doors, how he was there when Stephen died. And because he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, the Lord called him to be a missionary. The Lord called him into planting churches. The Lord called him into preaching to the Gentiles. And you and I, if we're saved, do you know that we have a similar story? And you might say, Tyler, that's nothing like my story. I've preached a lot of sermons, but probably the most important sermon I have is just my story. How Jesus saved me. Never underestimate your story. Never underestimate how the Lord saved you and changed you. And now you are called to live for Him, just like Paul. Everything I said tonight comes to one point, my final thought tonight. The purpose of Paul's missionary journey was to preach the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. It wasn't about making Paul famous. It wasn't about me and you putting Paul on a pedestal. It was about how much can one man go through, the shipwrecks, being in prison, being beaten, and yet Paul didn't quit. Even in Paul's hardest, most difficult times, Paul said, Lord, if I'm absent in the body, I'm present with you. When I read the letters of Paul, when I read the book of Acts, I'm convicted. Because when I stub my toe, I want to quit. I want to complain. May you and I view our life as a missionary on a journey. God doesn't lead us to places on coincidences. The Lord leads us to places for us to minister to people, to love people. And just like Paul poured into Titus and Timothy and all those people, there's people that God wants you to pour into. I'm so thankful for those who poured into me. And I'm so thankful that God allows you and me to pour into people. May we never take that for granted. You might say, Tyler, I don't know what in the world you talked about tonight. You're a missionary. And God has placed you in a mission field. Never forget that. And when you read about Paul, remember, Paul was a sinner saved by grace, and you are a sinner saved by grace. We have way more in common than we think we do. Amen? Let's stand together.